All right, welcome to today's post. This is a cool one. Recently I've been writing my book and writing on sales, having fun doing a bunch of research, and the thing that's got me really excited is the whole concept around the buyer and seller relationship and how that's changed over the last decade. And so today I wanted to think about how I could help you be more effective in your conversations with your customers, and just be able to take some of that pressure off of selling. There's a really, you know, a new movement out there that's making that relationship a lot more fun, more interactive, more collaborative, but you have to be aware of how things have changed. So today's post is called, In Selling, Make the Buyer the Hero, Not You. The days of the great salesperson swooping in to save the day are over, or are they? I'm in the middle of writing my new book and have been thoroughly enjoying the research and stories that are going into it. The area that's really caught my interest is around the ways the buyer-seller relationship has changed over the past 100 years. And today, we want to make the buyer the hero of your sales story. But first, let's take a look at what's going on with our customers. The buyer-seller relationship history, are they really BFFs? I just had coffee the other morning with a friend of mine who was very active in selling during the 70s and 80s, and we talked about the difference between then and now. It used to be that the salesperson had all the answers. You know, they were the gatekeepers of information. So companies would wait for salespeople to come in and give them the goods. The salesperson could basically tell them whatever they wanted, and the buyer had to make decisions based on what they heard. Salespeople had a crazy edge over their customers. They learned all sorts of psychological tricks to persuade, manipulate, and convince customers to buy. That's what caused the birth of the professional buyer. Companies started to bring on people whose sole purpose was to thwart those efforts of salespeople. It really wasn't about buying, but rather protection. That was the first major rift in that buyer-seller relationship. Then, as the information age started to put more knowledge in the hands of the customer, buyers began to exclude salespeople from the conversation. Buyers began to work through their own problems on their own until they determined a suitable solution and then would approach a seller to provide an offer. This is why today we see that most buyers are at about 60% of the way through the buying process before they engage with a supplier. And also exactly why most salespeople feel they're only competing on price. Of course, there's much more to this than I'll write in the post, hence the book, but as salespeople have been looking for more ways to provide solutions to customers, buyers have been finding more and more ways to reduce being sold to. However, this lack of collaborative dialogue is causing both sides of the relationship to miss out on huge opportunities. And really, I feel like I want to be a relationship counselor to both buyers and sellers to get them to see this. By not engaging salespeople early on, the buyer misses the chance to look at multiple ways to solve problems, find hidden opportunities, and create long-term relationships with a partner. And when salespeople fall into the trap of being just about price, they commoditize themselves and sell less. The best salespeople are the ones who understand that the true value is not in the product or service, but the value of themselves. With all that information that's out there today, customers are confused, overwhelmed, and unclear on their best options. The role of the salesperson is to help them cut through the clutter, provide insights, and be the ultimate resource. And most salespeople have forgotten this. Relationship selling is dead, sort of. See, the idea of relationship building and selling has stood the test of time. But in today's markets, relationships are different. Gone are the madman days of martini lunches and wining and dining your customers. And actually, I'd like to bring that back myself. It just looked like a lot of fun. The old school selling model was one where you tried to build relationships first and then get the business after. But if you take a look at the way we sell and buy today, no one is looking to build relationships in that fashion. One of the most interesting books on selling over the past 5 years or so is The Challenger Sale by the Corporate Executive Board. In it, they talk about the five seller profiles and how relationship seller is actually not the most effective, but rather the winners are those who challenge the customer. I like that. But the more I look at this subject, the more clear the solution has become. In today's business environment, relationships are earned, not made. To be effective, you must start with adding value to your customer and help them uniquely. Well, at the same time, you still must be likable. If you're likable, add value, and provide insights, your customer will then be much more inclined to build a relationship with you. If you are one of those salespeople today who are trying to open with the relationship, take a hard look at your conversations and conversions, as this may be why you're struggling. Stop selling, build powerful insights instead. A few weeks ago, I wrote about how to sell using insights, where I explained that even with all the sales training out there, there are only a handful of great salespeople who are effective today, and how the 80-20 rule is now actually 87-13. The big reason, as we've been discussing, is that salespeople are still just trying to give information. Let me be clear here. Your customers don't need more information. It breaks my heart when I see someone who actually has a decent product or service and tells me, if only the customer would understand how great this is, or maybe I need to give them more information or data, or let's start using PowerPoints to show them all the details, and stuff like that. They're just bombarding customers with information and overwhelming them. Do you have a 30-second pitch or elevator pitch? Or maybe you call it a value proposition. Take a look at it and ask yourself, it's all about you or the value you offer to others and problems you solve. People buy from you not because of what you do or who you have helped before. They buy for their own reasons. They want to know how what you do actually adds value to them, uniquely. Your value proposition must resonate with them individually. So if you find yourself rattling off the same 30-second pitch at networking events and being met with disinterested, blank, polite stares, you may just be saying garbage. I've done the same thing over and over myself. What we want to try and get good at is positioning that value proposition in multiple ways that actually get people smiling and nodding because they see how it applies to them. As for insights, this is where the true magic happens. I'm going to start with the assumption that what you currently offer your customers is a good product or service and one that you truly believe in. And you wish more people would see the value, right? Okay, so we start from there. Where I'd like you to begin is to take a step back and think about how your offer actually solves problems. In fact, take a step further back and write down who your ideal customer is. What do they look like? Their business size, the staff, the revenue. What are their typical challenges? What level of complexity are they faced with? Who's in their supply chain? What other people are involved? Where would they be on the innovation scale? How open are they to change? You can make that list as big as you want, but ideally you want to build your customer avatar, profile, or segment in a way that then you can start to create an understanding. This is huge. You may have a few different segments, and your sales process and material should change for each one, but get really good at building these segments so you can start to see more deeply the understanding you're trying to create. And then next, ask yourself about which challenges they have that they know about and which ones they may not see. The amateur seller is the one that goes in and asks, what's keeping you up at night? Today's winners are the ones that already know the answers to that. Learn about the problems your customers have, how you may help them see around corners, and how to help them avoid potential landmines. Your ability to then bring these insights into your customer conversation will separate you from the rest. If you do it right, you'll be brought in earlier in the buying conversation, increase your win rate, and have access to non-competitive deals, and you'll stop selling on price. Insights position you as a resource. All right, now we're at the good stuff. Tell stories and make the customer the hero. Now that we've got these fundamentals covered, you're going to see why this topic of this post is so important. I'd love if you went back and read my 4-part series on why we make decisions based on emotions, where I cover some cool behavioral and brain science. This helps set the stage for the power of storytelling in sales. Also in my post on how reading makes you more awesome, I talk about when we read, we insert ourselves into the story. So these concepts are really the framework for how you can sell more effectively. Become a great storyteller and learn how to tell the right stories for the people in front of you. These are powerful concepts. If your story actually resonates with your audience, then they'll have a more immersive experience. They will see themselves in the story where your solutions and insights will have more power. Whether it's that 30-second pitch or a corporate meeting in front of a large audience of stakeholders, a great story that has a point and connects with the individual is one of your best assets. Too often, though, I see people use stories ineffectively. They tell stories about themselves or their products that make the salesperson the hero. They talk about how they solved the problem, how everyone was happy, here's why I'm awesome, blah, blah, blah. Salespeople today feel like they need all the answers and that they have to be presenting themselves as a superhero. It's actually the opposite. You must work on making the customer feel as though they're the hero of the story and you played a supporting role. You can still get a trophy for that. Work the customer into the story. Tap into their imagination and make them see themselves solving the problem. Paint a picture of their current situation, including the challenges they're facing or potentially will face, and then show them a new way. Help them come to that aha moment and visualize what it would be like to break through to a new reality. And as I write this, I can feel that you're probably thinking about how you'd apply these ideas to your own process. See, I know it may seem like you're missing many steps and that you don't need more to do, right? Maybe you're wondering if this would actually work with your own customers. Maybe it won't. But what if you dedicated 5 hours a week over the next 3 months to building better insights and playing around with storytelling? What if you started having fun and telling stories to your customers, and it started working? They became more responsive and open to your ideas. You were able to explore deeper, more complex product offerings. And what if, because you took the time, you were able to get others to understand what you do and how awesome you were immediately? Your ability to provide insights, value, and connect could be the next phase in driving new referrals to your business and increasing your average sale. See what I did there? Told you a story. Put you in it. I would love to know if you actually took the time to apply these ideas. The world of selling has definitely changed, but selling is never going away. How are you going to stand out in a noisy world and cultivate brilliant buyer-seller collaborative partnerships? Will your customers bring you into the discussion early as a strategic resource or simply call on you when they need a competitive quote with two other options? It's going to be up to you, and it will take work. So remember to share and like this post, and please leave those comments below. I'd be honored if you shared your stories and ideas, and maybe post your own 30-second value proposition. Let's help tweak it. Let's look at what's going on. Share these ideas with people. So that's it for today. Go out and start telling some stories. Have some fun with it. Get your customers nodding and smiling, and really remove this whole logic conversation. Get into the right part of the brain and get people to feel something, and your sales will grow. So that's it. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.